It's simple math. Tim Hortons 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Building the Broncos with Nick Kendall and Carl Dummler, Broncos Country's leading draft and scouting analysts. Head on over to milehighhuddle.com to sound off on all things Broncos.
Welcome in, welcome in. It is Tuesday evening, November 5th, 2024. Big day today, big day. I think the trade deadline, right? First college football playoff rankings released as well, and I don't think anything else, but appreciate everyone coming in. It's time for an episode of Building the Broncos. I am Nick Kendall, joined by, as always, Carl Dummler. Carl, how you doing? What's good? What's new? I wish we had a little bit more exciting Broncos football to talk about since we last spoke.
Yeah, I mean, Broncos made a couple moves yesterday, so it's not like they've done nothing per se, but maybe not quite the direction the Bronco fans were hoping. You know, kind of went on the seller side rather than the buyer side with things. And I'd say that there's a little bit of, part of it is they like their young players. They want to see what they can get out of some of them moving forward. And two, I do think they have a healthy understanding of where this team's at. You know, I think we can get into that tonight of what it does mean for the Broncos not to have been buyers. And, you know, I think this past week really showed them we're not quite there. Like we're better than we were. We're in a better spot and we like where we're going, but we still got a long ways to go before we kind of catch up to the Baltimores, the Chiefs, the Bills, you know, those real teams competing for the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. And we got competing for our hearts always. David Papa Bear coming in says, good evening, Broncos country. 10-0, still possible, David, of course. And he says, let's go, Bo. Yeah, appreciate David coming in and supporting the show. Obviously, financially, times are tough right now, so any little bit like that boss man can see, you're supporting us, keeps us around. So appreciate that. If you can't be like Papa Bear there, who we really do appreciate coming in here with the $2 super, click the thumbs up. Takes 1 second. If you feel like we've earned it. If you don't feel like we've earned it, click it anyway, or click, you know, if there's a peach emoji or something. We appreciate that as well if you're joining us over on Facebook today. I know tonight's going to be – we'll see how tonight goes with other things going on in the world. But we got some more folks coming in here. C. Chang says, hope we beat the Chiefs. We talked about competing with the best teams in the NFL. We got Eric Flynn as well. Talk about competing with the best. Eric, with the support, thank you so much with the superstars out there. Eric, hope you're having a good day, and hope you're enjoying the show. Back to the Broncos here. We obviously want to talk the trade deadline, the Ravens game or whatnot. Am I weird for feeling like calmly optimistic about this game in Arrowhead? I think Denver is going to have a shot. Now I probably am not going to pick them to win. I don't know what the Vegas line is yet, but I went into that Ravens game initially until I saw like the Lamar Jackson on the injury report thing, thinking Denver's probably going to get obliterated in this one. I can't, they're going to take away the run. I just can't imagine the offense being sustained enough. I didn't see the defense looking that bad, but I thought Denver was going to get beat pretty bad. Not that bad. I'm feeling pretty good about this Kansas City matchup. I don't think Kansas City has explosive playmakers. I think Denver is going to be able to match up with them well defensively. I think they're going to be able to hit Mahomes a few times. I don't love their tackle play. And I think Denver is going to be able to do enough offensively to keep it close. They need to quit freaking with the early turnovers, LJH. I feel way more confident in this Chiefs game and competing with this iteration of the Chiefs, a team that Denver hasn't beaten in Arrowhead since that Week 2 Jamal Charles fumble game in 2015. But I feel confident Denver is going to compete in this game.
Yeah, I said it before we went into this two-game stretch. I said, I think the Chiefs game's easier than the Baltimore game. Because like I said, I think we do match up better. Those very athletic quarterbacks that make you have to defend all over the field, those powerful running backs coming up the middle, and then you got speed on the outside. That's the other big thing that the Broncos defense, even last year, I mean, Miami, I hate to bring that game up, but that was one of our worst matchups possible because you want to play a lot of man coverage, but you got these world beaters over the top.
Yeah.
And you just can't do that as much as you would like. So I think this was just one of those really bad matchups. Like I said, Chiefs, they don't have, I mean, they've got speed with Xavier Worthy, but he's not the deep threat that you would expect for being a big time speed guy. He's made a couple catches over the top, but it's not really his game, actually, if you really look at the statistics. But and Mahomes, I mean, he's an athlete, but he's not Lamar Jackson athlete. And they don't have a running back. Kareem Hunt's good. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But again, he's not Derrick Henry good. He's not the king. So I do. I think the defense will have a little bit better day. Offensively, this is where it gets a little tough. I mean, they've got a great defense. You know, maybe the best defense in football. But
I would say Steelers is better for sure.
Okay. Yeah. The they're just, it seems like they make the play when they absolutely have to. Like yeah. they just come up with it. Chris Jones coming up the middle somehow goes and makes the play. But I still think our offense, they're starting to figure a few things out. I know they only scored 10 points, but I think it was more just, like you said, those turnovers. Like they were driving, they were moving the football. It just,
and when you get the ball back and it's, what was it, 31-10? Like, there was no normal possessions after your first possession of the third quarter. Everything else is just like, you want to talk about garbage time. The rest of the game was garbage time. And that's even Bobad or whatever. Can't really run the ball. They know you're going to pass the ball. I don't know. The defense got smacked. But after the Ravens scored two touchdowns and the Broncos, I think it was 3-and-out to start the third quarter there. The rest of the game, I mean, the game flow, it's just so wonky. It's not competitive anymore. It's going to be called differently. I'm not going to take too much away from those reps, one-on-one matchups, whatever, but just the overall system and how it was going throughout that. But yeah, no, I feel pretty good about this game for the Broncos taking on the Chiefs. Mahomes obviously got dinged up a bit. Hopkins made a few plays here or there. Kelce is starting to get integrated again. As far as EPA per play goes, Chiefs are the 10th best defense in football so far this season. Denver's actually already played two that are better in the Chargers and the Steelers, of course, but Chargers have been amazing defensively this year. Their defensive coordinator's on his way to a head coaching spot here pretty soon, maybe even this cycle. But Jesse Minter, I believe, shout out to him. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting game, but I feel weirdly confident about this. And one reason also I feel confident about them, Carl, is that I think this Broncos team is well coached and I think they have really good culture. And I think that the defense especially knows they got embarrassed to a certain extent. I mean, the Ravens were putting up, they sat their quarterback in the fourth quarter. They're putting up like 4.5 points per drive, which like the best offense ever in the NFL is like 3.2. So they're better than the best offense of all time per possession per drive for points. So defense got embarrassed. They're going to take that personally. They're going to definitely take it to the Chiefs in this upcoming game. I'm not saying Denver's going to win, but it is going to be a good game, I think. I'm pretty confident in saying that.
Yeah, and the Chiefs really haven't blown anybody out this year.
Yes, yes.
You know, they've had all these close games that have come down to the wire, fourth quarter, having to make a play. Now they've figured out how to make a play. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's called the guys in the black and white stripes, but... But I know, low blow.
Help too.
Yeah, yes, he does help. You know, he's a big play guy that just shows up in those moments. And like I said, they're well coached. They don't make the mistakes in the big moments. You know, I always think back to the Patriots and their run. It's not that they were always so much better talent wise than a lot of the other teams. It's just, they were so well coached, so well disciplined in those big moments. Like, they're not going to fumble. They're not going to throw an interception. They're not going to get the big drive ending penalty. They're going to let the other team go make that mistake. And I feel like that's where the Chiefs are now, that they're not going to go make that big mistake that's going to make everybody go, oh, man, if they just didn't do this, they would have won this game. So we got Chase Wellner coming in saying, BTB, fist bump. There, oh, there, I got it on camera. There we go. Chase, good to see you in here. And Desert Creature coming in saying, on to the Chiefs game. Yeah, I do think there's every team has that one game a year that is just burn the tape. Mm-hmm. Like it's not a showing of where the team is at. Like I said, just things started snowballing, just kept growing and growing. And it just kind of, it got out of hand, unfortunately, with some bad things happening there.
And you know, I got to ask you, how do you feel about Sean Payton's really aggressive play calling in the first half? Because I think that's a respect to the Ravens offense. And yeah. Sean Payton was calling this game kind of like how Purdue would call a game against Alabama or Ohio State, I guess. We'll go Big Ten on that with Purdue. But you have to be hitting those fourth downs and play keep up. And if you're not hitting that, it's going to spiral, but like, that's your chance to keep up. So I have no issue with it. Like, let's say Denver hits a field goal there. Okay. Now it's 41-13, right? Like that, you have to score touchdowns. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Right. Like let's even give them three field goals, you know, that's not 19. Oh, 41-19. You only got blown out by a little less. So I don't really mind it too much. Maybe it's like, you know, sliding doors or whatever they call it. The game plays differently, but the offense had to come out there and do it. And I'm kind of glad that he stuck to his guns with the aggressiveness there. And it's kind of, I know that Sean Payton is not a disciple of Campbell out there. Campbell came from Payton, but like the overall aggressive dictating offense, Denver's not there yet from a personnel perspective, but I do think they're trying to establish that identity. And I like them coming out that way in that 9.5 point underdog matchup on the Ravens against the Ravens.
Right. Well, and even the play calls, I liked them. You know, estimate for the fourth and one, I didn't like the direction that he went. Like, he kind of did a little round out instead of, hey, get the ball. Let's get, you know, north to south and let's go pick up that hard yard. And it was close. I mean, they had to do a replay to, and like I said, maybe if you go and score touchdowns on those drives, it does change how the defense plays. It changes how the Ravens have to try to call their game. You know, the fourth down call with a deep shot, it was open. Yeah. Nick's just missed it. You know, it was a great play call. It caught him like they had it. It was supposed to be a touchdown. And just
eventually they're going to hook up, right? Franklin and Nick's. We have to have one at some point. There's one a game where it's, God bless it.
Right. I'd say that was like the theme of the first half was close call. Like everything was just so close. If this happens, you know, this can go this direction. It just, everything was just a little bit off. And I think everybody was just a little too amped up and just not quite the disciplined group that we've seen for most of the season. And so we got Gordon coming in saying maneuvers, not much done. One extension and one trade. Don't see the team improved. I don't think this was about improving the team per se.
I mean, you know, it was, but maybe not the 2024 team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just it. You have to be honest with yourself. Do you see the Broncos competing for a Super Bowl this year?
I mean, if Denver would have gone in and taken it to the Ravens, let's say it comes down to like a last second field goal and the defense plays great, then yes, like if you have like a special, not good, not even great, but a special defense, you have a chance. Denver does not have a special defense. They're very good. They're going to finish somewhere in the top seven in EPA per play this season, considering the resources they put on it. One first round pick, all the dead cap. I mean, just a lot more expenditure since Peyton's been here on the offensive side of the ball. That's amazing. I can't think of better ROI than this Broncos defense this season. But that said, I don't think they're special. You know, if they were special, we'd have a different conversation, especially with how volatile defense is year to year. We had a measuring stick game. And we were measured and came up very short.
Yeah. And so you look at the teams that were making these moves. They are the teams, a lot of them feel like they have a window. They have an opportunity. You know, the Chiefs made a couple moves. The Bills made a couple moves. You know, the Ravens made a couple moves. Lions made a couple moves. Arizona, a little surprised on some of the things they did. But no, these are the teams that are saying, hey,
yeah, Steelers.
Steelers. We're maybe one or two pieces away from this could be make or break of whether we can beat the Chiefs and go win a Super Bowl kind of thing. So you don't want to go waste draft picks for a 1 year rental or an eight week rental. And we got Michael Ronquillo coming in saying, good evening, Nick and Carl. I'm building the Broncos. Go Bo Broncos.
I don't know if we already got that one, but I always want to say hello to Michael. I saw him in here earlier talking about the election today and everything, and just wanted to give a double shout out to Michael because he is just such a great supporter for the show. Yeah, it is election day. That's right, Michael. I forgot. We got that patient, 1991. Go BSU. Is that Boise State? Ashton Gentry out there? That's a, man, heck of a year from them, man.
They are actually one of the teams in the 12.
Well, yeah, because there has to be an at-large, right? Did they? I haven't seen what the bracket is yet, but
they were 12.
Yeah, that'll be after this. It'll be fun. We got Kenneth Booker, our guy, coming in. Says, what are some players in the upcoming draft you're interested in? We'll be quick with this one. Genty, running back, Boise State. Burden, wide receiver, Missouri. Calvin Banks, offensive lineman, Missouri, Texas. And Mason Graham from Michigan. I mean, I think Graham is going to be out of Denver's reach. Like, he's going to go top 10. Banks, I'm not sure. I like him better at guard than tackle, but he's certainly in play if Denver is picking in that 16 to 24 range. Burden is as well, and Genty. I mean, those are some guys. It's still really early. Right now, I expect Denver to probably go offensive line because the big kicker in all of this, you've gotten early. This is an offseason conversation, I guess, but you've gotten early contract signed with Sertan. You got one done with Miners. You got one done with Cooper, and you got Garrett Bowles out here in space. Right? Like the 1 year contract. Garrett Bowles is the domino for the Broncos and everything they do this offseason. So if he's back, that changes your perspective. But if you let him walk, you bring in a kind of a, like a Matt Parrott type to compete with McGlinchey, to compete with Alex Palchetsky, you're looking at tackle very much in the first round. So we'll see. Those are guys to look out. You have Essery from Minnesota. You got Campbell from LSU. You got Simmons from Ohio State. Offensive tackles here that could be in play. We'll see what happens with Simmons. He tore his ACL in the, I think it was the Ohio State Oregon game. The Arizona cat, I'll be curious to see where he measures. Some people think he's a guard, but I really like his tape as well. So we'll see. Those are some names. Obviously everybody's going to be screaming wide receiver though, Carl, and that's more your purview than mine. But
yeah,
Burden, obviously you from Missouri, you got Bond from Texas, and Ibuka from Ohio State. Those seem to be, after McMillan, who's probably going to be drafted before Denver's on the clock, those seem to be the three that'll be options for Denver if they are very wide receiver based. But gun to my head right now, I think it's going to be offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Sean Payton and his history, he leans towards going in the trenches if he has a choice. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean he hasn't gone away from it. Doesn't mean he hasn't picked a wide receiver before. Yeah. But if he has a hole there, that's a place he definitely wants to go and get it fixed, because he knows the trenches make or break teams in the NFL. I look at like a team like Washington this year on defense, everybody's going, man, they're going to really stink on defense. And they've had their ups and downs with it, but because they've got a great defensive line, it's made the secondary work a lot easier. And I think it's the same here in Denver a little bit. I mean, the secondary has been great for Denver.
Yeah.
But just because they've been able to get a lot of pressure, it's made life a little bit easier in the secondary. We got Ernie Mays going, go Broncos country only. Go Bo Nix 4-6. Good to see you, Ernie. Always cheering on the Broncos here. We got Roy Osborne saying, in my opinion, we will not win a game till after the Falcons game. Broncos haven't proved anything to me that they can play and beat actual playoff caliber teams. Yeah, I mean, I'd say Tampa Bay is probably their biggest quality win so far. You know, they are a team that's kind of right there on that edge of being playoffs, not playoffs. And then you've got the Jets. I don't know. I don't know what you can really call the Jets right now. And then, of course, yeah, all the other games, bad, bad teams in the NFL. Now, I will say that the nice thing the Broncos have been doing, the bad teams, they've been beating them handedly. Like, it's not a close game. It's not who's going to come out on top on this? And I think that's a good sign of the Broncos going in the right direction. They're not in that bottom 10 teams anymore. They're kind of in that middle pack. And you're right. They're going to have to prove that they're going to have to win one of these next two games here, I would say, to really make you believe that they can be a playoff caliber team. And now once you get into the playoffs, hey, anything's possible. I'm not trying to take away. I mean, we've seen crazy things happen. Giants.
How does a January trip back to Baltimore feel?
Oh, man, that would be rough.
I'd be happy to be there. Just don't let Patrick and SpongeBob and the Nickelodeon slime game happen on that one. That would make me upset.
Yeah.
But as far as Roy's comment here, Denver hasn't proved anything. I mean, you don't create your own schedule, right? In the NFL, you got to play who's in front of you. And Denver, for the most part, I mean, already at 5 wins this season. Vegas had them at 5.5 win total. They're ahead of schedule. And to that point as well, Denver has a couple things to thank for still having the 7 seed. A, there are 7 seeds now in today's NFL. Is this the third year, second year with the 7 seeds? I can't recall. But with that, Denver's definitely has a chance. Also, my God, there is such a conglomerate of bad football teams in the NFL. I mean, just looking at it, 9 teams in the NFL right now have 2 losses. That's just, it's unbelievable how many bad football teams there are. The Jets have 3. I mean, 3-6. Are they going to go on a run here and only lose one more game to get to 10-7? And Denver has a tiebreaker over them. I don't think so. The Colts, they don't look very good. The team that concerns me out of the AFC picture is the Cincinnati Bengals, because they have a top 5 offense. They have a top 5, top 7 quarterback. Their defense is terrible, but Denver is going to have a head-to-head matchup with them week 16 on the road in Cincinnati. I mean, that's essentially, I think that's going to be a play-in game. I wish it was in Denver, but I think that's going to be essentially a play-in game. So because of the state of the NFL right now, with there just being so many bad teams, Denver could get in the playoffs for sure. I think their odds are still around 40 to 50%. And that's like, considering there's other teams that have, like, it's not just, you know, Denver versus one other team. It's Denver versus 4 other teams that have probabilities and chances there. So Denver's got a chance. They got to have to start winning some football games. And I understand what you're saying, Roy. Until they start beating good teams, they're going to be hard to buy as a good team. But it is still a positive direction all the same.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think there's probably about 3 or 4 more games you can comfortably say the Broncos are going to be the favorite to win. And they're going to probably have about 3 games where it's going to be kind of a toss-up. And then the rest of them are going to be, sorry, Broncos. It's going to be real tough to win that one. So, like I said, we knew this was going to be a process. Mm-hmm. Broncos truly went into a rebuild. They made that claim when they decided Russell Wilson, gone. $85 million in dead cap. Okay, we'll take it on. Especially this year when we're going to take on $53 million of it. $53 million of it. Yeah. Like that's you saying, like, hey, we're trying to rebuild. We're trying to lean into these young players, see what we got. And I think you've got a lot of things figured out. You've got your ownership. I think they're pretty good owners so far. There's not much that I can complain about other than giving Russell Wilson the contract, but that was going to happen. Like, I'm sorry. You trade for a quarterback, it usually means then you're going to give him the big contract. It just didn't work out. I would say Sean Payton, looking like he's a really good coach, got a really good staff here in Denver, moving the team in the right direction. Those are 2 of the big pieces you've got to have. Bo Nix, we're still waiting to see a little bit, but I would say he's heading in a positive direction.
He looks much more comfortable than he did the first 4 games of the season. Now, granted, I'm still pretty concerned about some of the accuracy, but it's a process, right? So we'll see if that continues to improve, but he looks more comfortable. I do know that there were some people, even in the media, that kind of gave the offensive line a hard time coming out of that Baltimore game. And I vehemently disagree, especially the first 2.5 quarters. I mean, they were pretty good. I mean, there was some back there where Bo was like hit the back of his drop and was like static and like pivoting, right? Looking for the guy where he didn't even have to maneuver in the pocket. You can't ask much more from the freaking offensive line. And there was even like some 2nd and 4s where they blasted up some holes for Javonte Williams. Game just slipped away from him. But the offensive line has been pretty good. But Bo has been progressing. I think he looks a lot more comfortable. Just need to dial in some of the accuracy stuff, which is just weird to say considering how accurate he was on tape at Oregon. But he's definitely looking like somebody who belongs. Is he a superstar quarterback? We're a ways from that, Carl. But as far as, you know, one of the top 32 in the league and belonging and ascending player, there's plenty of reason for optimism, there with that. So that's all you could ask for coming out of this season. Really? I mean, would it be awesome if he was looking, you know, like a rookie year Cam Newton? Sure. That'd be fantastic, but it's okay. That's okay. Yeah. So, looks like Rodney says YouTube's acting up. we're okay on our end, so it actually must be YouTube. Elon Musk. I blame Elon. No, I don't know. Zuckerberg, whoever's going on over there at YouTube. But keeping it going here, I do want to circle back to the main conversation here. Baron Browning, obviously, sent to the Cardinals with a 4-6 round pick in this upcoming draft. What are your thoughts on that as far as the value of return? Are you okay with the 6th round pick? Would you have rather have held on to Browning for a 6? I mean, 6 isn't a lot, but it's not just the 6th round pick. And you're also talking about guy's been injured and a guy who only has 8 games left on his contract. So you're getting something back when you probably wouldn't have gotten anything in the offseason.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of depends if you thought he was going to factor into like a comp pick formula. Probably not. So, you know, the Broncos are probably going to have to make a lot of different signings that are going to exit out a lot of those other contracts.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Broncos leaving here. So like I said, I don't think it was going to be anything for the Broncos. So you might as well get something for him. You know, he wasn't part of the future. Obviously, the signing of Jonathan Cooper. I saw somebody say that the Broncos did the same thing with Derek Wolfe and Malik Jackson, where they put out a contract to both of them, and whoever signs it first gets to stay. No, that's not the case here. Jonathan Cooper, he has proven to be a consistent, good number two edge rusher for you. You know, he does well in the run game, does well in the pass game. He's great in the locker room. Like, these are the kind of guys you want to keep around. And it was, I think, a very fair contract for both sides. I didn't feel like either side got completely ripped off by any means. And so, yes, he was always going to be the choice, especially after Baron Browning went down with injury again.
Yeah.
And so to get a 6th round pick, I know some people are complaining, and I think that's where we sometimes overvalue our own players. You know, and when he is at his best, he can be a decent edge rusher. But there's just so little example of that during his career because of the injuries, because it seems like when he does come back from injury, a lot of times it takes a while to get him going again. And it wasn't worth keeping him around. You won without him. So I don't think you need him to win this year. You're liking what you're seeing from Jonah Ellis. I think he's improving as a rookie. Benito has been a great surprise that he continues to ascend as a player. And like I said, Jonathan Cooper looking fine.
Yeah, a big one for me was you get a 6th round pick back when compensatory wise, I don't think he's probably gonna get like a prove it deal out there. Unless he goes on a tear down the second half with the Cardinals, which I hope he does. Right, I'm pulling for him. I loved him coming out of Ohio State. I thought it was a great pick. Just hasn't not been able to stay healthy. But you mentioned it, Benito kind of ascending from that super sub package pass rusher, right, where they're avoiding playing him on rundowns if at all possible. And now he looked okay out there. Now, granted, he's never going to be a fantastic edge setter in the run defense, but in a more penetrating blitz oriented defensive front where he's not having to, you know, read and react on the edge, where he can be more, you know, get in the backfield and penetrate. He's okay there on the run defense. It's again, even if it's a D+, considering how good of a pass rusher he is as a speed rusher, it's worth it. So I'm really curious to see down the stretch how he plays, how the snaps are deviated, because how the Broncos had used their top three pass rushers the last two seasons with Vance Joseph, you would see Browning and Cooper base package early down. Cooper is definitely the most solid edge setter of the group. And then you would typically see Browning and Benito in the sub package stuff. Now, sometimes it'd be Cooper or Browning out there, but Benito pass rush oriented, third and long, let him pin his ears back. One of the best true speed rushers in the NFL right now. So can Benito prove to be a first and second down guy as well? Cause Cooper just got paid, but like Benito with his pass rushing ability has the ability to get paid more than what Cooper does, because pass rush is king. That's where the money goes. But also, are you going to see Benito potentially still very valuable, don't get me wrong, but maybe relegated with Ellis becoming more of that base package player because he is a little bit bigger frame, a little bit better run defender on tape coming out of college. Now, granted, I don't think he's always been dominating there so far in the NFL. He's still, you know, not a hulking guy. What is he, 6'2", 250? I mean, that's small compared to your defensive end, but it's 3-4, you know, five-man front. That's fine. But I'm really curious, Benito and Ellis down the stretch, and not only for how the Broncos play this season down the stretch, but with how the team is set up to build and where they're going to be picking and just how much, you mentioned it earlier, Sean Payton and George Payton value pass rushers. I mean, edge rushers on the table in the draft, right? I mean, we talked about it. Benito's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Ellis is an unknown. The best defenses are four deep at edge, and none of those guys, as good as they are, they're not Batmans, right? They're all very good pass rushers. I mean, if Cooper was a Batman, he wouldn't have taken that contract. They're all very good, useful pieces. You're still hunting for a Batman. Your Batman on the front is Zach Allen, and he can't do it alone. I don't know if you saw the interviews after the game. He's like, I got doubled constantly, and I couldn't do anything. Well, somebody needs to step up with a one-on-one if that's happening. So really interesting to follow. I can't wait. I'm obviously on a long tangent. Where are we going right now? Yeah, I'm fine with the trade, and I think it opens up opportunities for evaluation and young players to step into roles that they could be in the future, or we might say, you know what? Love them there. We need a little bit more in that department. So that's where the Broncos at. Competing, still evaluating, still growing.
And I think there's two more names that we need to talk about here. DeAndre Tillman, you know, he's kind of been in and out of the roster a little bit. I mean, he'd be that fourth guy. But I will say one nice thing about him, he does bring a little bit more size to the position. I think he's somewhere between 270, 280. And in the couple games that he has gotten into, he's made an impact. So this could be your opportunity to really evaluate him. The other thing that's been mentioned is Drew Sanders might be coming back in the near future. I know his rookie season, it was bad, real bad, unfortunately. I feel for the guy, and I do think probably his best position is not on the edge. Like, if he's really going to make a career in the NFL, it's not at the edge. But it does seem like the Broncos want to try to give him every opportunity to thrive there. So if he's coming back here in the next few weeks, I just think, like I said, Baron Browning, he's not part of your future. You're not going to give him a long-term contract. You're probably not even going to give him the prove-it deal. It was just time to move on. I liked Baron Browning. I think he tried hard. I think he was a great locker room guy again. And he's just going to be one of those careers that you say, what if? What if he stayed healthy? What could he have been?
Yeah. And we'll get a chance to see, right? Yeah. Elsewhere. No regrets there. Cooper taking a pretty good deal. What is he at? The 30th highest paid edge rusher or something? I mean, up to $15 million a year, I think is what it was. Maybe it was 13, but that's not crazy money for a pass rusher. Now, granted, he's more of a base package edge right now, but really good story. I'm on pace for about 10 sacks this season, good edge setter, and a really hard player as well. Fell in the draft because there was a heart issue that he'd had, and he's become a leader and somebody that seems like the players were ecstatic that he got that deal announced. So happy for that as well. There is something to be said about, you know, rewarding those kind of guys. So will be very interesting to follow the scene going forward. It's going to be pretty hard for him not to live up to that contract if he stays healthy, because again, that they didn't pay him a lot compared to what the market says for that position. So I feel good about it. I still think that long-term, I've already kind of, soft launched it on Twitter, being like, hey, draft maybe could be defensive line or edge. Now, granted, you know, everyone drink. Nick wants to keep adding to the defensive line. Who would have seen that coming? I'm not obviously against it. It could line up where edge, defensive line, if you don't like an offensive lineman or wide receiver there, would make sense. But, you know, I'm always thinking 5-year picture versus this 2024 team. If we had this guy right now, we're going to be better, inch fast. So you have to keep refortifying and readdressing areas.
Yeah. I don't have any problem with that, because like I said, you've got to be 3 or 4 deep on the edge, 3 or 4 deep on the interior, if you want to have a strong, great defense. And you've got some guys, like I said, thankfully Cooper signed long-term. Benito's got one more year left, then he'll be gone. So you've got to really start thinking about that defensive line-wise.
Hopefully not. I'd like
to bring him back. Okay. That's true. Okay, he could be back. But interior defensive line, You've got a couple guys that are on the last year of their contract coming up.
Allen's a free agent after next year too.
Yeah. So, and that takes, that's a position that takes a year or two for them to really get going. So I don't mind adding to it, but we've got Quentin Carson coming in saying, "Hey, Nick and Carl, a bum that we didn't trade and get a weapon for Bo Nix." Yeah, I will say this. It's not that the Broncos didn't call. They made some calls. They talked to some teams with some tight ends. I'm not going to say for sure which teams. I know they called about a couple wide receivers, but it just kind of sounds like the Broncos mostly just more wanted to test the waters. Where are we at? You know, what is it going to take? And I know a lot of these trades, it didn't take a ton to get it done, but most of those moves are not going to make a huge, huge impact. A couple of them will, but not all of them are going to be big time deals moving forward.
Yeah. And Sean said, I believe it was Monday press conference, that we're focused on the guys we have in house, right? I'm paraphrasing, but we're focused on the guys and we have in house right now. Superman's not walking through that door. So like Denver wasn't going to be able to trade for Justin Jefferson. They weren't going to be able to trade for Jamar Chase, you know, like that kind of guy, which would be transcendent for this team, be awesome. But like, if those guys hit the market, 31 other teams are calling, seeing what it would take to get done. It's kind of like if Sertan hit the market, except wide receiver is more valuable position than cornerback. That's a different discussion, but
right.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a bummer, but now, I mean, it's still the vision is still the same for this team as it was the beginning of the season, even though we've had some obviously new data and the defense is much better than I thought we thought it would be. But the vision is still about, this is a young team with a lot of dead cap. They've had a severe lack of top 100 draft picks and they are rebuilding. This is a rebuilding season while trying to be competitive and go in the right direction. I mean, check, 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 right? We still have to see what the last half of the season looks like, but check, check, check. Also, we've heard ownership talk about this. It wants to be a draft and develop team. And you're finally at a position where you have all of your top four draft picks. You don't have your fifth round pick. I can't remember. I think that one went to Miami in the Bradley Chubb trade. Still talk about a long way down the path. I think that was part of the Bradley Chubb trade. So that's off to Miami. But you have your first, second, third, and fourth. You have 3/6. It's not easy for me to say. Your own one from Philly in the Okwuegbunam trade, who was just released. A lot of hand-wringing over when Denver traded him a year ago. You know, whatever. And then also the pick you just got for Browning. And those sixth-round picks, they're not really value picks per se, but like you can use them in a lot of interesting ways. You can package them to move up for a specific guy you like. You can trade them to bring in a veteran on a team that's looking to not cast a guy out, but like doesn't really fit anymore. I mean, one of the best moves the Broncos made this offseason was John Franklin Myers, and they gave up a sixth to get him. I can't remember the exact specifics of the trade, but that was a sixth. So now you have the ability with those late round picks to toss one over, take on salary, which Denver's going to have the ability to take on salary, but you have to give up something, right? So now you have flexibility in the draft to not only move around in the draft day three and get guys that position coaches want or one that you think is a diamond in the rough, but also add veterans. So again, it's great to have flexibility there as well. And you can trade up, you can trade down. They're not necessarily overly valuable, right? You'd rather have top 100 picks. Those are the ones that are really the money makers, but it still adds flexibility and another lottery ticket to the team and team building. And that's what it's about. And that's better than not having them.
Right. And I would say the other thing there, if you add somebody, it does harm your ability a little bit to evaluate Franklin, Bailey, Mims. You know, where they're getting bumped down a spot, they're getting less reps on the field. And I get it. Like they haven't proven anything at this point, but I think at this point, because again, you're not competing for a Super Bowl this year, most likely. I'm not going to say nothing. I mean, anything can happen at any time. You know, like Patrick coming in with coffee, always, that's a great thing to always happen, saying you guys sure make the ins and outs make a lot more sense. Appreciate that, Patrick. We try. You know, we have those moments too where we're like, what in the world's going on? Why is this happening? We try to gather as much information as we can. Like I said, just some of these young guys, Franklin, we got to see, can this guy be the future big playmaker down the field? A.T. Perry, I saw somebody else mention him earlier. Maybe he'll get a little bit of run now on the field. Marvin Mims, this might be his last eight games in Denver. This is his, he's got to prove something. He's got to go out there and do something for the team. And Vela, I think he's proven to be a lot more than people thought that he would be for a seventh rounder. You know, we're talking about late round picks. He's kind of proven to be a nice, decent number two kind of wide receiver for him. So you're right. I think there's plenty that the Broncos can do moving forward. I think they're set up well moving forward for this team. They've got some cap space. So they can go out, sign some guys in free agency. They've got the draft picks now to really go fill out this roster. And I think they've got the right people in place to make good decisions. So I feel more confident about this team than I have in a long time.
Yeah. As far as Mims being gone last eight games, I mean, he still provides value special teams, right? So he might be relegated to a specialist only in that kind of situation, but we'll see. I mean, you talk about Franklin, all those three young wide receivers, golden opportunity. What does this mean? The recapping the Broncos maneuvers or lack of maneuvers at the trade deadline, didn't add a weapon. Young guys, here's your audition. So doing so while competing, Audric Estime. This is an unbelievable running back class coming up. There's been some smoke that Denver, if Ashton Gentry was available, might be very interested. But that, I mean, that just goes to show just how interested they are in running back in general. Estime has a chance to change the formula there down the stretch. With Javonte Williams, last year of his contract, and Jaleel McLaughlin, I mean, let's just call it as it is, not having the body type to be a more than 10 touches a game kind of guy, 10, 15 touches. You need somebody else there. So Estime, opportunity. Let's see what you can do, kid. Hold on to the damn ball. Mims, Troy Franklin, Vele, Lucas Kroll as well. You know, he's 26, so he's not like that young, but young enough. Those are guys that you have an opportunity now because Denver did not make a move. All you can ask for is a chance to show that you're worth it, and you can have a chance to make plays down the stretch to help this young competitive team make the playoffs, and who knows from there, but also carve out a role in the future plans and roster as well that can change how much Denver's looking. Are they looking to spend a first-round pick at tight end? No, Kroll stepped up and we can sign somebody in free agency. We don't need to use a first-round pick on a tight end. All right. That changes the formula. So really interesting down the stretch. It's fun that Denver's competing. You know, this isn't just like we're getting blown out, but it's an evaluation season rebuild. No, we're still meaningful football games here. Good experience in that way, but it's still opportunity audition for a lot of these guys in long-term future roles. So excited to see it. Specifically at wide receiver.
Another name that I'm really hoping he can get back from injury, Tyler Bidet. I know he only had the like one actual game, but he was the one running back this year that I felt maybe could be the guy that knows where to go, you know, where the hole's opening up, has the speed to actually hit it and go get yards beyond what the play's blocked for. I think right now, Javonte and McLaughlin, both of them are bottom 10 in yards beyond expected. Like right now, our offensive line is blocking it at a top 12 level. And then those guys, they're only getting what's available. They're not getting beyond that. They're not making that guy miss to go get the extra 3 or 4 yards. And it's just been frustrating to see that because, again, like you said, the offensive line, they've been great this year. They've been the strength of this team beyond the defense. And unfortunately, the other players around them have just not been able to take advantage of how good they've been this year. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why you're interested in a guy like Ginty. We saw it with Derrick Henry this week. Like, he can make that one guy miss, and all of a sudden it takes a 3-yard play and turns it into a 20-yard play. And Sean Payton has always loved running backs. I mean, I'd be interested to see you two get into a room and discuss this position and just say, like, why in the world do you love running backs this much that you're willing to use like a number 2 overall pick to get a guy? You know, also used another first round pick at his time there. And he loves running backs, and he sees it as a value where they can go get those tough yards that another running back couldn't get. And for the most part, he's been right on the guys that he's evaluated for the running back position. So if he loves Ginty, I'm not going to argue too much unless you're trading a ton up to go get him. Then I'm going to have a little bit of a problem for a running back. But let's say he falls to you at pick 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there, or it only takes a fourth round pick to trade up and get him, man, I'd be all for that.
Yeah, and it's a really deep draft class at running back, so we'll see. A lot of process to go. We have Michael coming in here before we wrap on up the show. Says, great show tonight, Nick and Carl, on building the Broncos. Go, Bo Broncos. Go, Michael. Thank you so much for the support on the show. To everybody coming in, obviously, Papa Bear, all the thumbs up and everything on A. People looking for a little bit of a escape, I'm sure, from the news cycle tonight as well. But overall, it makes a lot of sense for the Broncos to ship Browning. I was hoping for a fifth-round pick. I mean, that's kind of when you're hoping for something, probably subtract a round, and that's where the market will be. So opportunities for a lot of young guys to step up as well and evaluate, and wish Browning nothing but the best. Not too upset Denver didn't add anything else. The one move that I had thought Denver would maybe make, there had been a lot of talk about it and it didn't come to fruition, was DJ Jones, who's been up and down this season, the nose tackles or the defensive tackle spot. Denver, with how Malcolm Roach has played, there's been some internal buzz about Brandon Miller and Owazarike as well. The 49ers interest in calling in DJ Jones. I think Deanna Rossini reported that about 2 weeks ago. If you could have gotten a sixth or seventh round pick, I think that's something you'd consider. But I don't know if you saw the 49ers made a move for a backup nose tackle, and they gave up a 2026 or 2027 seventh round pick. Probably worth just keeping the guy at that point rather than that. But that's the only other one that really stands out. And Sutton floated around again. I know Williams was floated around as well. Bowles not floated around, but I mean, the fact that all these other guys got in contract and Bowles hasn't makes you wonder what the future plans are there. But I don't know. Eight more games to go for Denver. Right in the thick of things, currently have the 7 seed. And despite coming off of a, we'll call it what it is, a butt whipping from the Baltimore Ravens, a lot of season to go. Denver is ahead of schedule all the same.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm pleasantly surprised with this team. You know, if you listen to the national media before the year, pretty much most of them were saying Broncos are fighting for the first overall pick.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we're not in that position. And like I said, you've also answered, I think, the bigger question, Bo Nix deserves another year.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we still got 8 more weeks left, and maybe he really falls off a cliff, something like that. But he does seem to be trending in the right direction. And I think he's at least earned another season to show that he can be the future beyond his rookie contract for the Broncos. So that's a nice feeling. I don't think we have to have that debate this summer or this spring, I guess, before the draft of, hey, which quarterbacks do you like? It'll be nice to talk about the other positions.
Yeah. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. So appreciate everyone coming in. Denver's going to be fun down the stretch here, and luckily for the Broncos and Broncos country, I think we're going to have meaningful football games. But turn the page here. Carl, last thing before I close on up here and read us on out, I need a score prediction from you. I'm not going to hold you to it, but this is when you're going to be on here for the Chiefs versus Broncos. We talked about Chiefs earlier. If you're joining us now, you can scroll back. I feel confident that Denver's going to be in this. I think somebody mentioned in the chat it's 9.5-point underdogs again. I don't know if it's just me being – it's Scott's throwing eight. I think he's throwing up eight there. The mic and the three dots covered half your hand there. But the other way, other direction. There we go. Five, three. Okay, there we go. Cool. But the 8-point underdog, I feel Denver's going to compete in this one. They're not going to get embarrassed again. What do you think the score is going to be?
I'll go 27-24 Chiefs win this one. Mahomes a little bit banged up. I think the defense is still going to have a few struggles. I'm hoping Locke gets back, because unfortunately Devin Key was not good in that game.
No,
he was out of position on a lot of plays, missed some tackles. And I mean, a lot of guys missed tackles. I'm not just trying to say the whole loss is on him for how bad the defense played, but he was not good. But I think the offense will be able to get a few things going, get a couple big plays earlier in this one, be able to run. So I'll say 27-24.
All right, well, we'll see. I think 27 is not a good line for that defense, considering how the Chiefs' offense has been this season, but we'll see. Yeah, Michael's agreeing with you, or he's just saying what it is, but he might be agreeing with you. We'll see. Well, appreciate everyone coming in. I have not seen the college football playoff committee rankings yet or anything like that. Iowa number one, I'm just assuming. They have 3 losses, but like those, they cheated. No doubt, before the game even started, we're going to call that cheating. But no, man, it's a... going to be a fun rest of the season, and I'm happy Denver didn't do anything too crazy. And as Sean Payton said, it's about the guys in-house. Superman's not walking in through that door, but they're hoping maybe a Superman can come through the door with their first-round pick. One reason they didn't give up those guys. So and Samantha says 80% of the loss was because Key. He gave up like three scores. I mean, Key was really bad, but so was Moss. So were the linebackers. So was McMillan. I mean, you didn't have any pass rush outside of Franklin. Got one on that first drive. Plenty of loss to go around, but yeah. Key was very bad. So he wasn't as bad in the previous games, but, you know, Panthers maybe a little different there. But yeah. Appreciate everyone. We're going to get on out of here. Make sure you're following Carl on Twitter. Carl's at Carl Demler MHH. I'm at Nick Kendall MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, we're over at facebook.com/MileHighHuddle and facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. And as that ticker says there underneath, please subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. You guys have a great rest of your night, Carl. It's always good to see you. Hope all is well. Continue to choose kindness and compassion. I know it's pretty hard with the venom and vitriol out there, but, you know, I got to try to make that choice. And appreciate all you. You guys have a great rest of your night. Go Broncos.
You've been listening to Building the Broncos. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.